but I may read in Proverbs to start with, a very, very familiar scripture, and then I'll turn over to Exodus. But Proverbs 22nd chapter, I think maybe what we're going to read first. And like I say, if you want to turn, just go ahead and turn to Exodus. The second chapter is fine. I'll read this here. It's just one verse, and it's very familiar. We quote it, and we use it a whole lot. But it says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I just felt like I needed to read that with this other scripture this morning. Then we'll turn over to the book of Exodus in the second chapter. And we're going to be talking about something very familiar. And you get studying on it, you know, and you each one of us, if we was in church when we was a kid at all, you heard about Moses and you heard about his mother and you heard about how she made an ark of bulrushes and how she hid him in the flax on the brink of the river. And we could probably, some of the youngest ones in here's got much of a memory, heard that in Sunday school. But this is a scripture that the Lord had laid on her heart to sort of go along with that, there, train up a child the way it should go. And let me just read just a little bit here in this second chapter. It said, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sisters stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' And said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, and she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" And I'll stop right there for just a little bit. And I got to thinking about this scripture here, and as we got to meditate, it seemed like last night I'd wake up off and on, and I just couldn't get some of these scriptures off my heart, and thinking on them. And I thought, as this child right here, I just try to, and maybe y'all's different than me, I don't know, but a lot of times I try to get myself caught in this situation, and I try always to get to thinking about this. And I saw, you read on over, you read back up into the first chapter, and we see where Pharaoh, they seemed like that the Hebrews was a growing, and he was wanting to hold them down, he was wanting to afflict them, and he'd sent out a decree there, or sent out a word. He wanted all the male children cast into the river. He wanted all these children. If it was a female, it was okay, but he wanted no male children to be born of these Hebrews. And he had talked to the midwives, and he was wanting them to kill them. And I got to thinking about that as he was trying his best to kill these children.
And I thought about this Moses' mother as she conceived this child, her and her husband, and how that the Bible said she hid him for 3 months. And I got to thinking about that, Julia, just thinking about that little old, because I mean, right now we're at 4 months with lives, and I see the condition that he's in, the state he's in, and how much he leans on his mom and people to take care of him. And I got thinking about that, taking that child, and how that this mother went out there, and she got to where she couldn't hide him no more. So she went and she made this ark out of the bulrushes. She went to daubing it, and she went to fixing this thing, and she laid him out there on the brink of that river. And I was trying to get my mind and my heart wrapped around there where God was leading us in this. And as I got to seeing what she was doing for this child, it was a desperate time. This was not just any ordinary sunny day, everybody's loving everybody kind of place she was living in, Bobby. She was in a place to where There was a death sentence on a 3-month-old baby. There was a death sentence upon a newborn child, if you'll have it. Every child that was being born in that day, if those midwives, if done what Pharaoh told them to do, they was to take that newborn child and they was to walk out there to the Nile River and they was to chunk that baby in that river and allow it to be swept away and die, Bobby. You realize the seriousness of what a place they was living in. There was no concern for that child that couldn't help itself. It was demanded to be killed. Just bear with me just a little bit this morning. I think her name's Jochebed, which was Moses' mother's name, if I'm saying it right. Here this mother and this father realized the urgency and the danger of the day they lived in. So they took and was willing, right, to go against what the decree was, and against the grain of where they lived, and they hid this child. Now I want you just to get in here with me and understand where I'm at today. I've already mentioned a little bit of this in what we've testified of here today. You realize the dangerous day we live in? You realize the hours that we're living in. There's a decree going out in this world, and it's trying to kill our children. There's a sinful nature that this world is trying to put as the rule of man, and it's trying its best to overrule God's people. It's trying its best to take the innocency of the church of the living God and trying to kill it. Trying to take our children that love nothing no better than to get a hold of some of these youngins that's in here and twist them up, just like what I was talking about with on some of these jobs of trying to teach a little boy he can be a girl, teach a little girl she can be a boy, you can be whatever you want to be. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. The most ignorant junk is coming out in our world today. And you know what it's all trying to do? Destroy our children. It's trying to downgrade what the church truly is, what a mother should truly be. Trying to twist up, that's the very thing. They want our churches to adopt the same kind of values, the same kind of thought processes, and they're trying to turn the church into being something besides a mother. But I'm going to tell you something about these Hebrew women over here, and especially this woman right here, the mother of Moses. She saw something precious in the child that her and her husband had conceived. And she was willing to go against what the decree was. She was willing to stand firm for that child. Church, we need to be that mother. We need to be that mother. As the scripture over in Isaiah says, can a mother forget her sucking child? And then it tells that he never will. Yes, she can. A natural mother is saying, yes, she can, but he will never forget us. The true church, this world, I've preached that scripture before about that mother forgetting her sucking child. And there's two women over in the days of Solomon over there. There were two harlots, and they both had a child. One of them laid on her child, and her child died in the night. She tried to steal the other one's child and call it hers. The real mother in that, she knew her child. True mother will know her child. The world's trying to take our children. It don't bit more love them than that. It's trying to corrupt them. It's going to try to raise them up under their own thoughts and their own beliefs. Don't really kill. Don't really care about if they live or die. That's not a true mother. A real mother can't forget her sucking child. A true mother can't forget that, David. Not being any kind of vulgar at all, but I'm going to tell you what, a mother that's nursing her child, if she goes a little while and she's not fed that child, she feels pain because of that. There's a memory, and there's something that comes to her realizing there's a child that needs to eat. And that's not getting out of hand or vulgar. I'm just telling you, that mother will remember that, Bobby, because there's a pain will come to her. And let her know there's something depending on me. And I have got to keep myself healthy. I have got to keep myself in a condition that when that child cries, that I can feed it. Moses' mother realized this. She kept this young hid for 3 months as best she could. Then she had to go do some preparing. To try to hide that child. I thought how fearful that was. I thought, how could you take your child? And how could you go out here and construct something out of bull rushes and out of these flags and out of these things here and go to daubing it and try to protect it? She's putting it in the safest place she knows, Bobby. Where she had it, evidently it was getting hard to keep it there at the house. She had to put it out there and just trust that the Lord was going to take care of it where she put it and follow His will. There'll be only so far, Ethan, that you and Kim can take that young and protect it. And you're going to just have to place it out there in the Lord's hands one day. Oh, but that will tell you what. Here's what I'm trying to get to. The Lord had evidently given this woman a vision of some things. You go out and you gather you some bulrushes. You get you some slime. Oh, it may not be the prettiest thing that you can think of. And you go to daubing this. And you go to constructing this little ark. I believe Shandy. That just the same way as he gave Noah instruction on how to build the ark, that big old ark out there that Noah constructed to save man and all the beasts and all the animals, I believe the Lord came down in the same way to Noah's mother. And I believe he instructed her, I'm going to show you how to build something. I'm going to show you how to put something together that will keep this child for a little while on the brink of the river.
You what was ahead.
That very river.
Oh, if you could just see this morning. That very river that they were supposed to be cast into and die. That very river, Bobby, the Lord told a little old mother how to put something together that I'll protect that youngin right there beside what in this world sent there to give him. Oh, do you see it? The Lord give that mother some instruction. He said, you take some things that ain't going to be the most pretty in this world. You get to weaving them together. And you get to tying them things together. They still going to leak. So you're going to have to get some slime, and you're going to have to pack some things into the cracks. And you're going to have to go trying to get that thing. And you're going to have to pitch it. And you're going to have to get it to where that it won't sink when it gets out there. When it's on the brink or if it gets out in the water. Hey, and that boat's still going to hold together. I'm going to tell you something about the church of the living God. God's got a mother who knows how to prepare an ark for her children. Now that ark right there, I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't going to carry that young man for always, but for the time needed. It's a true preached word that needs to get along down the house of God. These things, Jay, that comes out like he's bringing out in Sunday school this morning, these things, Weston, as it goes on down here at the church, some of these testimonies, this may look like old bull rushes, this old world. May look like old stalks, may look like there ain't much to it. When an old good saint of God stands up and says, just thank God for saving me. Again, brother said, I'm glad God got to dealing with me. Mark got to clean it up for a while. And them things may not look like much to the world. They may not mean a whole lot to people out there. Hey, it just looks like a bunch of old bulrushes getting weaved together. Hey, the children of God getting together, testifying a little bit. But I will tell you something. Hey, that ain't just old holler man. That ain't just old natural bulrushes. Hey, when the testimonies of the children of God and the lifestyles that God set aside for His people to live, get pitched with slime when the Spirit of God gets rubbed all over you. Hey, that'll hold water out.
Sir.
He took him on bulrushes. She went packing slime in there. She got to wait in that little water for it float. Where he was staying, some things made it stronger. Some old something tried to crawl up on the bank and go to digging into that ark. That mother made it strong enough where that one was going to get in there to get her baby.
I heard people talk about alligators and all that stuff, crocodiles over on the Nile River. I don't know a lot about it, but I can guarantee you. Ain't many rivers I've ever been around that didn't have predators running up and down the banks. His mother had that ark placed over there. And she had a little sister keeping an eye on it. I promise you, you keep Nessie and Noah, and you put them in that ark. You put these youngins in these arks. I called up our little altar up on the ridge this morning. I tried to lay little old lives down in that ark this morning. I tried to lay your children in that ark this morning, Kim. As others. Because I realized how tested and true that this is. The true ways of worship and in the spirit and in the truth down at the house of God. Coming together in one mind, one accord, seeking the will of God. It works and it's beneficial. And it'll take care of little Olivia's. It'll take care of little old Vince. It'll take care of these youngins. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to take a mother that takes enough of that child, hey, to put her in there. I read it, train up a child in the way it should go. When it's old, we'll not depart from it. You train
I said a lot of times, you don't train by just running your mouth. You don't train by just yelling. Hey, you train somebody to do something, you show them. You walk in front of them, Dan. You teach them, Chad, by the way you walk. When they're old, they won't depart from it. It's mothering. Job ends this. Job, Moses. She loved him from conception. She started protecting that child. She placed him in the ark of safety. Right there beside what man was trying to use to kill him. How many babies died in that river, do you reckon? Oh, there were some good midwives over there, but don't you think there was some that folded under the word of Pharaoh? Don't you think there's some that just said, go ahead and take, well, that's a man child. I hate to do it, let's just take it down there to the river, Bobby. They throwed that child in there and turned their backs on the stream until that child got swept down the river and it was out of their sight. How many today, how many churches is backing up on the gospel? How many church members, just like I told you while I was mowing yesterday, you know how mad I'd get? You know what I'd do to a man I saw chunking a baby in the river? You don't want to know. I don't want to know what I'd do to a man that chunked a baby in the river or a woman in one. You want to know why this old boy got a little fired up while he was mowing yesterday? I got to thinking about something that just laid down on God and turned their back on the house of God, turned their back on the Word of God. And you know what they done? They took a lot of little old babies and chunked them in the river. Lost their testimonies. Oh, preacher, can they get them back? If they'll repent and get themselves back to where they need to be, God will use them. God will let them have another testimony in their life. Yeah, there's going to be things they've done in the past that they can't change, but they can change the future to where they're going, what they're doing. You testified it. That man right there testified it. Got saved when he's 13. Got up, got bigger. Got out, quit going, said, I don't need church. Ain't got to live in a life that wasn't pleasing unto God. Felt like a prodigal son. Didn't know where he was saved or lost sometime. But what the Lord do, let's come back, didn't he? And now what's he doing? Using that life. Had two youngins out of his family, got saved. It's all right here. But I'm going to tell you what. Hey, son, that ain't willing to chunk them babies in the river. Hey, still some churches, son, that loves them children. Hey, still some people willing to stand up and preach the gospel and tell you they love you. And they still some that's willing to take a little time to weave some bulrushes together and dog it with some slime and lay it on the bank. Let me tell you something. It wasn't long. Pharaoh's daughter took notice. She saw something on fire on the brink of that river. She saw something on fire. You know what she did? She sent one of her old servants up there to go get it. It was a dead baby. Saw that ark. And when they lifted the top on it, they saw that child. It won't take long for this whole world to notice these ones that we've got held in the ark of God. You know what? It won't take long for them to pop the top. They'll try to open up that ark, and they'll try to take these children out of that, and they'll place them in their house. Huh? You know what the world do that young man back there? He's going to try to take this off the top off the ark. It's you and your mom, where you and your mom's been. You and your mom's put together. This church has tried to construct around her. You know what the world's going to do? Take the top off of it. You're going to, that young man at some point is going to get exposed to the world.
They are.
You bear with me. These children are in the ark of safety, surrounded by what God has let the church put together around them. But there's going to come a day when the world's going to take them out. And they're going to get exposed to sin. They're going to get exposed to Pharaoh's house. They're going to get exposed to the things of this world. Do you know what the Lord done that little child over there? This has always blessed my soul. That little sister that's been keeping an eye on him said, would you like me to go get a mother to nurse him? And where did she go find a mother to nurse that child? I'm going to tell you what, there's a spirit that's going around in this world that's watching over them children. It's keeping an eye on them. Hey, the mother puts together that ark. The mother lays it on the brink of the river. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a little sis that keeps an eye on them.
The Spirit of God and the grace and the mercy of God
has got eyes on your child. I promise you that. Hey, and when it comes down, hey, Chad, dang, you laid them youngins on the brink of the river. And they come a day when they got exposed to the world. But I'm going to tell you what, God's grace, God's mercy never left them. Yeah. And when the world got exposed to them, God's grace set for mother.
And here come
that child's true mother down there. Kept feeding it. That child got trained up. And as he got old, you know what? This man didn't depart from it, did. That natural mother, in this case, the spiritual mother, in our case, as these children get brought out into the world, you know what she'll do? She'll keep a nurturing that child, keep a feeding that child. Hey, a true mother can't forget her sucking child. These children that's been laid in the hands of God, He won't forget them.
No, sir.
This mother went out. She fed that young man up until he was a grown man. I've thought so many times how she nurtured little old Moses. No doubt she raised him up. And you know what he was raised up to be? The son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was. He was taken in and made just as much a child of Pharaoh's house as anybody else was, because he was raised by her daughter, by his daughter.
We can raise these children up in church, but you want me to tell you what they are? They're still a child of Satan. They're raised in no sinful nature.
They're raised in no sinful flesh. They're raised to be to what this old flesh wants to lust after it can have. That's the way Moses was raised up down in Pharaoh's house. But there was something about that young man. His mother had continually nurtured him, had continually been there to feed him what he needed to be eating. And there come a day, you can read when he went over there and he seen an Egyptian smiting one of the Hebrews over there, and he slayed that man.
Then he went back and he seen two Hebrews striving with each other, and he's like, why are you striving with each other? Well, then all of a sudden, you know what happened to him?
And they said, what are you going to do, kill us like you did that Egyptian? And then you know what happened to him?
Let me see if I can read that. Wait, listen. Yeah, 14th verse in that second chapter. Said, let me read up here to the 13th. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And listen, and Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known.
There came a time in his life when he realized he was found out. for what he knew. And he feared. And this thing has gotten on in his life. Just like he's teaching this morning, Jay. When Joseph's brothers got down there, they started falling under some conviction, didn't they? They started remembering the things they had done wrong to their brother, and they realized there's some terrible things coming on them because of that. Right here in Moses' life, he feared. Because his son got found out. But he'd been raised up and trained, Jay. Oh, he may have been placed in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. He may have been raised up. Hey, to enjoy the pleasures of this world. I'm going to tell you what them old Pharaohs, all they was about was pleasure. All they was about was pleasing themselves. All they was about was the things of this world. Their name. Oh, they wanted their name to just be renowned in this world. Here comes a little child who grows up in their mess. They've been taught better.
You can go on over and read it in the 11th chapter of Hebrews if you want to.
Moses choosing rather to suffer with the children of God
than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Church, if we keep these children in this ark,
yeah, there's going to come a day when the world's going to open that up and they're going to be exposed. They're going to see it, Cheryl. They're going to taste it. They're going to feel it. They're going to know what sin is. Oh, they may not, as we talked in Sunday school again this morning, they may not murder.
They may not even cuss. But they'll know what wrong is.
But as long as we try our best to keep them in that ark of safety. And then when they do get exposed to this world, just keep a pumping the milk. Just keep a pumping the milk to them. That's what a good mother does. She keeps feeding, even when they've been exposed. She keeps nurturing, even when they've been exposed.
There's things in a mother's milk that they can't get out of formula.
They can't get out of this natural place of this world. You can't feed them like a mother can.
Hard as we try, we can get them through, get them by.
There's just some things that you can't do that a mother's milk can do. Her old, I could say, if I was a jock of bed, here she was just thinking about her holding little old Moses. Can't you imagine that, yo? Her looking down and knowing. It's like we're looking at our children, man. She's like, what's he going to face?
What's he going to go through in Moses's? Or in Pharaoh's house.
What's he going to be exposed to down there? Oh, the sin that probably went on down there in Pharaoh's house.
The filth that may have took place.
Ain't this the way we are, Jeanette? This world, body, these little ones, we look out and we think, what are they going to see? What are they going to face? What are they going to go through before this time ends?
But you know what she kept doing?
She kept feeding him the good milk.
She didn't change what she was feeding him. She didn't swap it out for something different.
She just kept feeding him the mother's milk. You know what we got to keep giving these youngins? The true milk of the Word. That sincere milk. And then they'll grow up one day. And just like Moses, he had a choice.
He was destined for what he was going to do, preacher.
Yeah, the Lord had a plan for his life. I don't believe there's ever been a man born of a woman that God didn't have a plan for your life. I really don't. But you know what? There came a time in Moses' life where he had to make a choice. It's the book, Choosing Rather. So he had to choose one thing over another. Well, he didn't have no choice, preacher. It just had to happen that way. Well, that's the way God wanted it to happen, but Moses had a choice. What do you reckon had the most profound impact on that man's life at his time of choice? what's had an impact on these young men and these young women's life that's sitting in this church right here. I believe there's some memories went back when they got laid on the brink of the river and they heard them stories. Maybe they don't remember all of it. I don't know that Moses truly remembered. I don't remember nothing at 3 months old of you. Do you know what his mother gave him nurtured up to her bosom? There's a mother that helped him. And there was a sister that stayed right beside him. And you know what I believe they constantly done? They reminded him how much mother loved him. How she protected him in them times. As he grew up, how she nurtured him right there in the house of Pharaoh. Right there in the midst of sin, how she took care of him. And when he got old, he didn't depart from it. It's going to have an impact on this children's life, church. When they get old and there's a choice to be made, God's got a plan for some of these young men to be deacons, teachers, preachers. He's got a plan for some of these young women to be deacons' wives, preachers' wives, piano players, Sunday school teachers, teaching these children and leading in the church in them manners, when God's got a plan set ahead for them. It's this church that better have created an ark for them. It's this church that better have kept them up close to the bosom of God. It's this church that better have been feeding them the sincere milk of the Word. Because when they get old, Gina, we don't want them to depart from it. Moses had chosen another way. God would have set somebody else right in that place that was willing. Yeah, there's a lot of deacons quit church, turned their back on God. Yeah, there's a lot of preachers laid down that book and went to chasing after things of the world. Yeah, there's a lot of Christians that ain't where they need to be. If you want me to tell you something, though they may have chosen to go another way, God put us right in that place to keep on going with it. If we're with it, to choose Him. If we're willing to follow the path that He wants us to go in. You want to know why the church is so important? Why you reckon Moses' mother was important? It took her and his father to conceive that child. It took her to go out there and start weaving some bulrushes together. It took her to be willing to get down there on the brink of the river. You know where you find that slime at? Right down there, I guess, on the edge of the river. You get down there and you find that stuff. You know what it takes to get down there and get a hold of it? I'd say you're going to have to get down on your knees. And you know what? You're going to have to get a little dirty. It's going to take a little bit of backbreaking work sometimes, and you're going to get tired, you're going to get weak, you're going to get discouraged, and you're just going to feel like you just can't go another mile. But I believe she had, every time she went to weeping, that little basket, every time her back got to aching, every time she got tired, I believe she looked over her just like I do every morning and every night, and I believe she looked in the face of that little old baby Moses. And I believe she saw a child that was worth it. I believe she saw a child that she was willing to go however far God needed her to go for. I would to God our churches to get to that place that we're willing to go wherever God's going to send us, Weston. Whatever He's going to require of us. If you get out there and there's a fire going on, you got several other men that's depending on you doing your job, don't you? If you let up, what could happen? One of them could get hurt or die. Somebody needs you right here, too. Cheryl, we need you right here, too. Gina, we need you right here, too. Shandy, we need you. Dean, we need you. in this together as a mother. It takes every one of us of getting this basket woven together to protect some of these. And lay them on the brink of the river when we went as far as we can. She created an ark. You know, an ark's for to contain something. It's a vessel of sorts, if you want to look it up. And it's to contain something. This type of ark that Moses' mother constructed was to keep things out. She pitched it. She put a lid on it. She made it to where stuff couldn't get to that child. Somebody tells you you're being a little too strict on them young. You sure let them just... We had people tell us when we're raising our things, Matt. You're gonna regret it one day keeping them away from some of this. You've got to let them get out there and do a few things. Now, I ain't talking about just everything. They can do a few things. But when it gets down to the sinful things of this world, my kid wasn't supposed to have a part in it. And it gets down to chasing the things of this world, you need to keep the kids out. These people tell us that. No doubt they told you the same thing. You got to let them get out there a little bit. And I don't say this with any malice or meanness, but I'm going to tell you what one of the very ones that told us that, I've watched them struggle with their child right up to this very day. Because they let them get a taste of it. At the times they should have had in that ark. They left the lid off and they let everything on the brink of the river, on the banks of the river, to climb in and out of that ark. It wasn't just enough, Daniel, to create the base and the bottom of it. There's a lid on that thing. You got to do everything you can within your power to keep things away from your children. It comes down to having to cut Disney off because they're trying to show you two Mickey Mouses living together, or two Minnie Mouses, or making Minnie and Mickey just be whatever they want to be. Cut her off.
Amen.
If that phone's bringing in filth in front of them, take it away. Hey, I say this, if it's bringing filth in front of you, throw it away. That goes out to every one of us. Because I'm going to tell you what, that's about as equal as things we've got close to us anymore. We better keep a lid on these children. We better protect them with everything that's in us. Because they're precious. The world just wants them to get thrown in the river and washed away in and die there. You've been next to a river, David. Ever throw something in one when it's a moving swift? Why, you can't drag it back out. You can't. You throw something in that river, man, you went fishing Saturday, didn't you? And then rivers was a moving, and creeks was a moving Saturday, wasn't it? You throw something in it, and I'm going to tell you something, it's gone before you know it. You can't reach out there and drag it back. You know what the world right now is? It's time to be trying to help you. Today, now, not waiting. Don't just cast them out there in the river. You better put them in an ark of bulrushes and slime and put them on the bank. Because them little old children, when they got thrown in that river, they were carried away before anybody could do anything about it. When them babies is born, get them in church. Keep them in church. Don't just cast them out here into the world and say it'll be what it'll be.
No.
Garbage of a bunch of preaching right there. It'll be what it is. I don't think so. Moses' mother had an effect on who Moses was. Because she was a mother. Because God used her. The church of the living God will have an effect on what our children grows up to be because we are the mother of them. We are the bride of Christ. And when that father and that mother comes together, and see, there was two Levites right there. Moses' mother and Moses' father was both of the Levites. When God's church and the father come together, they conception.
Marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. This is undefiled love when the true father and the true mother come together in love. Undefiled. True conception. Bastards are not born under that. No, sir.
He lets us know over there that we need to know that we're not bastards and that we're sons. I'm talking about a married mom and dad. I'm talking about a true husband and a true mother.
That's the way things needs to get born. And that true mother won't forget her second child. The true church won't forget how conception takes place through love. Basically in order. You know why God blessed us to see salvation? Because the mother's come to the Father the way she should be in subjection and His will. Now it's time to make sure that these young'uns, you can carry them. She carried that young'un and kept it hid for at least 3 months. Then it come time that she better have had some things prepared. We've got some that's been saved with us for a little while now. Remember how it was when he first got saved? There wasn't nothing going to get you down, Gina. Oh, you was right there, and it's just easy, to be honest with you. First got saved, it's just easy. That's why I've been trying to tell you. Ain't the only things come at you. Ain't the only things that'll try to trouble you, try to take you down, youngins. Trying to get my feet a little away. Trevor, the leaves and bulrushes together.
This whole church has been trying to encourage you, youngins.
Yes, sir.
Wesley ain't been saved long, son.
Church, we need to get the bulrushes weaved together. Let that youngin know, put a lid on. Make sure that thing's pitched.
Make sure that ain't nothing can get in. One of these days, they've come to a choice in their lives. I want to see some more coming. It's going to take us being a mother, church. Staying right where God's placed us. Go right into the midst of Pharaoh's house and pour the milk to that baby. She wasn't ashamed to go over there. Oh, no, sir. And you know what? I don't think it would have happened any other way. Because that mother loved that child. That mother placed that child in the hands of God. And what did God do? He placed that child right back into the hands of the mother. We trust Him. We lay Him in the hands of God. And you know what He'll do? Make the way right back in our hands. And He'll say, "You're a mother." See, a true mother's got a natural instinct about her, don't she? Yeah. It's nothing physically she does to produce that milk. It's the nature of her body. It knows how to work, don't it? It knows how to feed nutrients.
Well, it ain't cause that mother. It ain't cause that mother so smart. It's because God created that mother to feed that child. Let me tell you something, it ain't because we're so smart.
But God created the church to take care of the children and to have them born
and to train them children up in the ways they should go, that when they get old, they won't depart from it.
It ain't because we're so wise. It's just because God knows how to work His church. And when we get under subjection, and them testimonies start coming to our heart, it's for a reason.
Some of these youngins may need to hear it. God lays a song on that heart.
There's a reason. There's some may need to hear it.
Just be a mother. I know maybe I'm getting didn't think I'm weird or
something, I don't know. But listen, baby, I'm going to tell you something. Back when my mom was carrying me,
she said she could drive by a red clay bank and see that dirt broke up on that bank. For some reason, she said, I want to go out there and just eat that dirt. Don't that sound weird?
You know what they told her? There's something in your body that's needed for that youngin. There's some kind of deficiency in there that youngin's needing, if it's iron, if it's some kind of mineral or something. That's what makes you have strange cravings. That's what makes you want to go after something that don't seem like it's normal. That make any sense to you? My mom couldn't understand why she was craving dirt. But her body was telling her that child needed something. Okay? A lot of times, maybe women, you may not understand why God woke you up at 2 o'clock to pray for Tommy. You may not understand her, Lane, why he laid Corbin on your heart over here one day. May not understand, Matt, why you have to open that Bible up and read it at night with your children. May not understand it all at the moment that it's taking place, but that's God just letting the mother know as one in the midst that's needed. There's a craving that I'm going to lay on the mother because there's a child that's needing that at that moment. You want to know why it's so important that we listen to God and quench not the Spirit of God? Because if you leave off what God is craving, giving you a craving for, then that child may have a deficiency and be missing out on what it's needing. I don't know, like I say, if you think that's weird, you just think it, but that's how God gave it to me. That's how it made sense to me. Church, keep yourself where we need to be. God's laid a great thing in our hands, and He's got more than He's wanting to give us. Bearing children is a great responsibility. It's not something to be taken lightly. Because there's a world out there that's wanting to cast them into the river.
And
they're wanting them to get swept away in the things of this world and just be in a whirlwind until they die, lost in their sins. But God's got a church here to keep them out of the river. God's got a church here to put them in an ark of safety. Do as Moses' mother did. Take your responsibility as serious as it truly is. Let me take it, Ethan, as seriously as I should. Told them in the Sunday school this morning I was ashamed. Not boasting in this, but I went to my altar up on the ridge this morning. Leaves and sticks laying all over it, Connor. I had to spend the first part of my prayer time with God this morning cleaning my altar off. Of everything I'd let blow in there, everything I'd let get in there covering it up. Need to get her office cleaned off. Get used to them again. Need to get our lives where they need to be. Because there's some children on the brink right now. There's children on the brink of the river. There's some children that's getting ready to be cast into the river. I can grant you as many Hebrews as they was in that day, there was childbirth going on at different points and times. And it was up to different ones to take care of which one was going on at that particular time. We're here to take care of the ones that God sent by our way. Church, stay firm. Stay grounded. And just keep weaving the bulrushes. Keep pitching, laying the slime to them. Keep putting the lid on. And then when they're cast out here in this world, Pharaoh's house, just lay the milk to them. Keep feeding them. That's what the Lord laid on my heart this morning. I thank the Lord for His Word. I appreciate everybody's prayers this morning. Appreciate the opportunity.